Zimbabwe is considering extraditing to Equatorial Guinea 70 men accused of being mercenaries. They're accused of plotting to overthrow the government of that country, and they could face the death penalty there. They were arrested 2 months ago at Harare International Airport. 23 of the men come from one small town in a remote corner of South Africa. NPR's Jason Bobian reports on what's driving the men of Pomfret to take jobs across Africa as armed guards and possibly mercenaries.
Pomfret's 6,000 residents are tucked into a dusty corner of South Africa near the Kalahari Desert. Pomfret isn't so much a town as it is a military base that's lost any semblance of military structure. Rows of what used to be army houses sit with their windows smashed in, doors ripped off, and roofs pillaged. This town was a dumping ground for one of the most controversial units of the apartheid-era South African Defense Forces, the 32 Battalion.
Our intention was just to stop the communism in Africa. Did you remember?
Jeppe Dos Santos was a rifleman in the 32 Battalion. Like most members of the unit, he's black, he's from Angola, and in the 1970s and 80s, he fought for the white South African government against the black liberation movements in Angola and Namibia. Now Dos Santos is in a wheelchair. He lives in a single room of what used to be a medical clinic. He has no running water, and he cooks on a bare hot plate element that's propped precariously on three bricks.
That is my stove. I used to cook there alone. I have no family here.
In 1989, with the apartheid government on its last legs, the South African Defense Forces moved the 32 Battalion to Pomfret, gave the Angolan fighters small houses and South African citizenship, and then, as Dos Santos says, abandoned them. Dos Santos says he'd like to go home to see his mother, but he no longer has an Angolan passport, and he's not sure he'd be accepted in Angola by the regime he spent most of his youth fighting against. And anyway, he adds, he can't afford the bus fare.
My desire is to go back, but how? Without money. That destroyed all my life for nothing. And it's very sad. Very, very sad. Not only me, there are many here.
Pomfret is so remote that it isn't even listed on many South African maps. The closest supermarket is 2 hours' drive away across arid, inhospitable scrubland. Most of the men from Pomfret who have jobs have left. They earn a few $100s a month as security guards in Johannesburg, Pretoria, or Cape Town. Dos Santos says recruiters regularly come through the town looking for out-of-work, destitute soldiers to do various jobs.
They know these people, they are good soldiers. They came here to say, okay, we need such a person, sometimes 10 people or sometimes 20 people. They don't say, let's go to do what and what. They only say, we need 10 to go and to guard some place there. And then you see, you have a family to support.
Of the 70 alleged mercenaries currently being held in Zimbabwe, 23 are from Pomfret. They claim they were hired to guard a mine in the Congo. Prosecutors say they were on their way to stage a coup in Africa's third largest oil exporter, Equatorial Guinea. Bibiana Chimaichi's husband, Eduardo, is one of the former members of the 32 Battalion who's under arrest in Zimbabwe. Chimaichi lists a half dozen women in her neighborhood whose husbands are also being held. Chimaichi says her husband was offered a job by a white man from Pretoria, and then a few days later she saw Eduardo on television being paraded in leg irons and handcuffs across the grounds of the maximum security prison in Harare. She has 6 children to feed, and over the last 2 months she's had to rely on handouts from her neighbors to survive. Chimaichi, however, says she's most worried that her husband will be extradited. If they take them to another country, she says, they will kill them. A short walk away down another dusty dirt street is the house of Manuel Abaka, who's also under arrest in Zimbabwe. Abaka has 4 children. His eldest son, Jose Manuel, is a thin teenager with a shy, tentative gaze. But when asked about his own future, the 18-year-old becomes very decisive. He says that with his father in prison, he's decided to quit school and get a job doing security.
There's no way I can continue my school. No one is helping us in... We are suffering, so I have to go and work so I can support my family.
He says the next time the white man from Pretoria comes offering jobs, he's going to follow in his father's footsteps and go. Jason Bobian, NPR News.